indeed. Monday morning. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan. Thanks for being with us as you wake up on this foggy morning. Yes, a little foggy out there, but hey, the heat will finally be with us. It was pretty hot yesterday. Went for a walk and the air felt heavy. And I thought the sky might open up a little bit later in the day. There were a couple, few clouds. Didn't really get there here. Now, we did have some storm watches and warnings yesterday across the province, including tornado warnings south and southeast of Regina. Now, we talked to Environment Canada's Eric Dykes this morning. He tells us there were pictures of a possible tornado near Colfax.
It looks like it was, I'm going to say possible right now, and not going to likely quite yet. Still further investigation on that. It was a very, very skinny-looking tornado. A little bit hard to discern in the pictures as to whether or not there was an actual touchdown on the ground, per se, from the picture. But the funnel itself, the majority of the funnel, was rather lengthy and winding and narrow. So it certainly looks to be one of a smaller tornado, if you will, that if it did touch down, did touch down, luckily, for in a field. No damage reported, nothing else reported from that storm.
And more storms could be on the way, not so much today, but certainly over the next, well, tomorrow, it's possible, all because of this heat as well. And before we get to the heat today, as you heard, fog this morning, an advisory is up right now in Regina, along with many other spots across south and central Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, Weyburn, Estevan included. Dyke expects it to fully clear up around midday or so. While fog is in the air, Air Canada flights aren't. At least we don't expect them to be again today. We're seeing some cancellations at YQR. New developments from this past weekend, right as the disruption started officially on Saturday, the federal government stepped in with the federal jobs minister ordering binding arbitration and for flight attendants to go back to work. But the union is defying a back-to-work order. QP's national president ripped up a copy of the back-to-work order yesterday outside Toronto's Pearson Airport, saying our members are not going back to work. QP says it filed a challenge in federal court yesterday on this. So here we are this morning now. What is going to happen? We expect, well, somebody to say something today. I would think maybe the federal government. I'm sure we hear from perhaps Air Canada, from the union again on this. What happens next? Yeah, a lot of travelers are probably wondering that.
Let the record show that halfway through 2025, the number one team in the Canadian Football League are the 8-1 Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah, what a weekend for sports. The Riders prove why they are the best team in the league.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Yeah, 8-1 after a 29-9 win over Hamilton at a sold-out Mosaic Stadium. Yeah, they got there.
You can't really complain about too much of what's going on.
Just a real good all-around game.
Ah, what a great afternoon game.
This is the second game in a row now. This team is not taking his foot off the gas.
I really don't like to do this halfway through the season, but I think we're going to roll over everybody else, even if we take a few losses, but we're going to bring that cup home where it belongs.
Callers on the Green Zone post-game show there. The best record that I can find the Riders having is 14-2 in 1970. Historians, does that sound about right? Now, I mean, you still have to play solid ball for the latter half of the season, but as you just heard, fans think they can keep this up. There you go. They can do it. They have the tools. They've beaten the best teams. The other big story that we are on for you this morning is this incredible underdog story from the Regina Red Sox, who just won the Western Canadian Baseball League Championship. Regina was in the final against Sylvan Lake. They lost the opening game here at home, remember, at Currie Field, then went to Alberta trying to win two on the road. And that is exactly what they ended up doing, including a come-from-behind win in game two. They beat Sylvan Lake Saturday, 5-4 in the third and deciding game to win the league title for the first time since 2012. Hometown boy Brady Bye was the playoff MVP.
I grew up watching these games. I remember them winning it when I was a little kid, so really, that's a special spot in my heart to be able to go out and do this.
Yeah, he says it's been a wild ride.
And it's been an absolute roller coaster. That's a really good team over there. It's been up and down throughout the whole series, and the nerves were going the whole time, and now all I can feel is just excitement.
Remember, this is the same season where the Red Sox had to deal with losing one of their players. Pitcher Jesse Lubinicki died in a car crash. It was a rollover in Montana as he was on his way back home to Regina. We'll hear more on this emotional season with team president Gary Brotzel a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, the Rough Riders just showed why they are the best team in the CFL, handling the Hamilton Tiger Cats 29-9 at a sold-out Mosaic Stadium. Now Saskatchewan is at 8-1 on the season. Joined on the line now by Belton Johnson, part of our Green Zone game day coverage, Grey Cup champ. Belton, wow is all I can say about that game.
Man, you know, the way I see it, Kevin, it's that game. You know, that was another, I'll call it another dominant performance by the Riders. And, you know, it looks like this team is in full swing right now. And, you know, I do have to give a hats off to that Rider defense because they were swarming. They were hitting, what, 6 sacks, 2 interceptions. I don't think it could get any better than that, man.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, and we'll talk certainly about quarterback Trevor Harris. But, yeah, that was the thing that really stood out to me a lot in this game, Belton, was holding, what, the highest scoring team in the league up to this point to just 9 points. Right. The defense, they were on it.
They were. And, you know, earlier on in the year here, you know, when they just rushing 3 and 4, they weren't getting a whole lot. But, you know, within the past, what, couple games here, you know, they're rushing 5 and adding in 1, and they're reaping the benefits of all that. And when you get pressure on a quarterback, you know, that's where the interceptions and everything come as well for that secondary. And again, they locked down Kenny Lawler, who's a great receiver, right? And like you said there, Kev, they absolutely shut Bo Levi down.
Belton Johnson on the line with me this morning. So Trevor Harris, he throws 3 touchdowns. You know, I was thinking about this, and isn't it nice this season, Belton, that we don't have to have a lot of these questions about the quarterback? Uh-oh, who's going to be the second and third string, and who's going to play, and who's gonna... There are no issues at the quarterback position this year at all.
No, there's no issues at all. Trevor Harris, you know, I got to say he's probably got to be up for MOP talks, right? Just the way he's, you know, what, over 70% completion still, you know, for a number of games here consecutively. And, you know, when they're throwing that deep ball, he's hitting the receivers in stride, Kevin, man. Like, you don't get any better than that. And, you know, just the weapons he's have, the protection he has, everything is bowling very well for this team right now.
Are you at all concerned, Belton, with kicker Brett Lawther missing 3?
I was hoping to get away from that one, but
nope, you're not.
nope, it's I mean, I think we got to be worried, right? Yeah, he hit a 59-yarder, fine and dandy. But you know, come down the stretch here, he's going to be relied upon. He's going to be they got to need him, right? And I just, you know, 60-some percent complete or field goal percentage, to me, that's not cutting it at all, man.
Before I let you go, I'll ask you point blank, Belton. Is mm-hmm. this the best Riders team that has been assembled?
The best? I mean, they're 8-1, and I still see them winning at least 5 more games here. You know, so I'm going to have to say yes, Kevin. And I guess maybe it won't be the best until, you know, Grey Cup time as well, right?
Well said, Belton. Always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for this.
Hey, have a good one, Kevin. A foggy day in London
town. I had me low. 6:14. Kevin Martell in for Greg Morgan. Foggy day in Regina town. Yeah. As we wake up this morning, pretty thick out there, and the city is under fog advisory, as you've been hearing. Those advisories, actually, they cover, it's kind of a weird shape, just looking at the map right now from Environment Canada, and just like the fog, it's kind of patchy where those advisories are. Regina is included, Saskatoon's included, Moose Jaw is not included, but Swift Current is. Same with Weyburn, Estevan, Carlisle, those areas this morning. Environment Canada tells us that things should burn off a little bit later this morning, clear up by about midday or so. things still aren't cleared up at Air Canada. We're seeing Air Canada cancellations this morning, including at YQR. It's a little weird, though. I do have, switching over from the Environment Canada page now to yqr.ca, and just looking at the departures list, yes, you're seeing some cancellations from Air Canada, but other Air Canada flights I'm seeing here look like they're on time. So I don't, from everything that we've heard over the weekend, it looks like Air Canada probably isn't going to fly today. We had some new developments over the weekend on this. Right as the disruption started Saturday, that was the first day they had cancellations, what, Thursday, Friday? Not all flights were grounded at Air Canada, but they were building up to a total shutdown on Saturday. But as soon as Saturday came, the federal government stepped in with the jobs minister ordering binding arbitration and for flight attendants to go back to work. Air Canada then said flights would resume last night. But the union is defying that back-to-work order. The airline reported roughly 940 canceled Air Canada and Air Canada Rouge flights as of yesterday, leaving thousands of passengers stranded and struggling to find ways to reach their destinations. Now, the national president of QP ripped up a copy of that back-to-work order yesterday outside Toronto's Pearson Airport, saying our members are not going back to work. QP says it filed a challenge in federal court yesterday on this. So here we are. You can expect more disruptions today. I think that's fair to say. If you're flying with Air Canada, if you're looking to fly with Air Canada, doesn't look great right now. You had to figure Ottawa would probably step in. They wouldn't want to let it go on for too long, considering how much Air Canada's flights grounded would cost the economy a day. It would be, I wouldn't even know, but it would be probably an absurd amount where the Carney government was like, no, we can't have that. But what is going to happen today now? You have to expect that we're going to hear something from the feds on this today if the union is ripping up that back-to-work order, if they're openly defying it. Will we hear from QP? Will we hear from Air Canada? And it's not like WestJet can just step in and take all those lost flights. Obviously, WestJet only has, you know, so many planes. Their fleet is only so big where they can only have, you know, how much capacity could they possibly hold? Air Canada is this country's largest airline. And people right now, a lot of people, as you just heard, thousands of people can't move. A lot of people are moving today in Alberta. That is going to the polls. Federal by-election day in rural Alberta in Battle River Crowfoot, which Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, of course, is trying to win so he can get a seat back in the House of Commons again. It's after Poilievre lost his previous seat after being defeated in his Ottawa area riding this past April. The Tory leader is widely expected to win and win quite handily. He's running, this is the riding where he's running against more than 200 other candidates. It's part of that protest against Canada's electoral system. This group wants it changed. We saw this in Poilievre's Ottawa riding when he ran this past April. It was the same kind of a thing. This time, though, people have to write in. It's not, they don't have the ballot, you know, when you vote. It's not, you know, making the X or whatever it was that most of us are used to. This time you're actually writing in his name or writing in your preferred candidate's name. A little bit different this time. You've been hearing in our news that, you know, Poilievre doesn't love it, love the ballot. And in so many words, he feels like he might be unfairly targeted. He's pointed out none of the other leaders of the parties had to contend with this during this past election, except for him. Other big news over the weekend, too, that you might have seen. British actor Terrence Stamp just died. Now, yes, I can hear you. The name might not immediately, you know, ring a bell for you. Who's this, Terrence Stamp? But if you saw his face, you'd know. He's been in the business for six decades. Most likely known for Zod in 1978's Superman and then the sequel Superman 2.
Come to me, Superman, if you dare. I defy you. Come and kneel before Zod.
He earned an Oscar nomination for 1962's Billy Budd. He was in Wall Street, Young Guns, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Wanted, The Adjustment Bureau, Valkyrie, Last Night in Soho, Netflix Murder Mystery. So I'm sure you've seen one of those movies. The movie that I will somehow, I don't know why this movie sticks out for me, because it's kind of a off the beaten path one, but Yes Man with Jim Carrey.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Yes.
Say it again.
Yes.
Yes.
Make me believe it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, his death on yesterday, on Sunday, was disclosed in a death notice published online. Terrence Stamp was 87 years old. Defaults playing at Shake the Lake this upcoming weekend. Yes, the show is on. The festival is on this Friday and Saturday. We have weekend passes to give away for you this morning. Two pairs of passes. They could be yours. We're going to play a mash of songs here. What I need you to do is name these three artists performing at the festival. Name the artists. Ready? Once you have the artists, text in to 1-877-300-7275 along with your first and last name and where you're from. Artists, your name, where you're from, and we'll give those tickets away just after 8 o'clock to two lucky winners. Hey, there were no lucky winners for the Lotto Max jackpot this past Friday. Nobody who bought a ticket anywhere in this province won on any of the major prizes. So now the jackpot, we were playing for $70 million. Now the jackpot grows to $75 million for tomorrow night's draw. 75 mil, not too bad. We did have a winner in local football. Yes, the Regina Thunder improved to 2-0 after beating the Calgary Colts 49-16. Yeah, it was a pretty handy win. Thunder have their home opener, by the way, at Libel Field this upcoming Sunday. And there was a winner at the box office as well. Once again, it goes to Mystery Horror Weapons.
A lot of people die in a lot of really weird ways in this story, but you're not going to find it in the news.
It benefited from strong audience reviews and social media trends to attract large crowds. I saw it last weekend when it opened. I loved it. It's the same guy who did Barbarian. That weird. And what I like about his movies is I don't know what it is. There are trailers out, but I'll go in cold. I won't know very much about it. And it's almost better that way. Usually you want to have an idea when you go into a movie. For some reason, it just works with him when you have very little or no idea what his movie is about. And you're just kind of along for the ride. Like I said, it's a mystery horror. And it's quite enjoyable. I think he's doing it. Zach Kreger is his name. And you consider him kind of a newbie. By the way, it earned another $25 million across North America. Freakier Friday once again finished second. Nobody 2, starring Bob Odenkirk, finished in third in its opening weekend. That was filmed in Winnipeg, just like the first Nobody.